It's our happy privilege to come your way again by TV, and we always look forward to the time when we can gather together with you around the Word of God. Always, it's the thrill of our heart to talk about Jesus and to read God's Word. You know, down through the years, I don't know of anything that has been more fascinating to me than God's wonderful Word. It seems like as the years go by that it gets sweeter and sweeter to me. I think about the song, you know, sweeter each day. Most assuredly, serving the Lord Jesus Christ grows sweeter and sweeter. I'd like to read a little bit today from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, that's a real charge when you read something like that. That really stirs the minister up. This is the charge that Paul the Apostle was giving to his son Timothy, the one that he called his son after the faith, giving a charge to Timothy that he should endure hardness like a good soldier, and that he should preach the word, that he should be careful as to what he said and what he left in the minds of the people. You know, it's the minister's job to program the minds of the people. And sad to say that many people who are supposed to be programming the mind after the order of the Word of God are only telling them fables and teaching them heresy. A lot of ministers in the world today that are not really God-called, and they're making havoc out of the church of the living God. They are teaching the people things that are contrary to sound doctrine and contrary to real holy living. But there's one thing about it, the truth will always prevail. That's one great thing that we have in remembrance, is that the truth will win out. Always, down through the ages, down through the many years, the truth hath prevailed, and the truth has always won out. So we know by that the truth is going to win out. Now, they may teach fables, and it may seem at times that that is going to prosper, that God is going to forsake His Word. But friend, I want you to know that in the end, the truth will prevail, and the house of God will be established. We're told in the Holy Scriptures that in the last days, or the latter times, that the house of God shall be established, and nations shall flow unto the house of God. For the time shall come that men will suddenly remember that they have forsaken the living God, and that God is calling them to repentance, and that they must turn back to God. So then it is a true fact that God will establish His house. There will come a time when God will establish His house. And the Bible said all nations will forget God. All nations shall forget God, including America. And then God shall do a marvelous thing. He shall magnify the house of God. He shall establish the house of God. And then all nations shall suddenly be awakened. They shall come to their senses and they shall say all together, let us go up unto the house of God and let God teach us of His ways. This is the thing that thrills my heart, to know that God is doing something special in the hour in which we are living, in establishing the kingdom of God. I ministered the other night and I was speaking of the time that the prophet foresaw the restoration of the fallen down house of David. You know, God built the great house of God back in the days of Solomon, and it was a glorious thing. All nations round about, they admired the great house of Solomon. Solomon being the son of David, it was referred to as the house of David. But there came the time when Israel sinned against God, and this house was completely torn down. God told him, said, if you sin against me, someday this building, this house, this great work that you've erected as a monument of praise to me shall become a byword. And men shall walk by and wag their heads at it and hiss at it. And so it came to pass. It was torn down because of sin. And the alien powers came in and desecrated the house of God. And in so doing, when they came in to do this, they turned and took the things that God had there dedicated to his own cause, and they took them out to Babylon in different places and used them for the flesh. But the prophet spoke, foreseeing what God would do. The prophet spoke, and he said, there shall come a day when God will return and build up the fallen down house of David. There'll come a time when I will build up the fallen down house of David, and ye shall see this great house once again erected as a monument of praise to me. And so then we find in the New Testament, when the apostles gathered together and they were having their conference, one of them waxed bold as the inspiration of God came, began to enlighten his mind. He stood up in the midst of them and he said, brethren, this agrees with what the prophet said. For I will return in the last days, saith God, and build up the fallen down house of David. And so we are here in the latter times, and we find ourselves right here gathering together as the great lively stones of God, stone upon stone, being built upon the foundation of the apostolic church. You know, there's but one foundation, and Jesus said concerning this foundation, I've laid this foundation, and let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For the day shall come that shall try his works. Every man's works must be tried. Every evangelist's works must be tried. He must be brought before the great counsel of God, the great word of God, the great light of God. His works must be tried. So then Paul said to Timothy, your works is going to be tried, Timothy. Therefore I command you to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word. He said, don't be afraid to rebuke. Don't be afraid to exhort. He said, be patient in it. Be long-suffering in it. Be kind and considerate and understanding. But be firm in it. Be forward in it. Be sure to rebuke and to reprove. He said, for there will come a day, Timothy, when men shall not endure sound doctrine. There'll come a time when they'll heap to themselves teachers. They'll pick out their own teachers. They'll do their own thing, and they'll seek after their own way of life and their own doctrines. And Timothy, in that day, they'll be turned away from the word of God, and they'll be turned to fables. But he said, Timothy, you do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Preach the word. I like that. Because I believe in preaching the word. You know, a lot of times folks don't agree with you when you preach the word. Sometimes they kind of take on a little reservation of heart and they get a little bit leery of you and they draw back a little bit. But let the clock just keep on ticking. Let time keep on passing by. And after a while, the things that happen in their lives make them to know that the word of God was right and the things that you said was right. And they find that in confiding in what you said was the better way of life. And they soon begin to search out the man that preaches the word. A lot of times it seems so good to follow fables. Seems much better to follow after somebody that'll make everything go your way. But brethren, let me tell you something. You that are listening today, you that are looking this direction today, let me tell you something. You may follow after your own understanding. You may go your own way. You may do your own thing in life. You may shun the Word of God. You may try to make the Word of God fit your way of life. You may try to make it do the thing that you want it to do, but I tell you in the name of the Lord that you're going to come up short in the day of judgment. Because there's one thing for sure and for certain, and that is that God, in the day of judgment, isn't going to accept any man's person. He isn't going to accept Brother Pike's person. He isn't going to accept the great person of many great reputable men of today. You know, we've got a lot of men today that have great prestige, great power, money power, great ability, great political powers. But I want you to know, in the day of judgment, it will mean absolutely nothing to God. God will not regard a man's person. God is going to require His Word in your life, His Word in my life. God is going to require of you exactly what He requires of me. And you know, this is a good thought. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. There's one thing that we need to keep in the back of our minds, and that is, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. God is the Spirit of holiness, and without the Spirit of holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. Now, I know they refer to the Pope as His Holiness, but I want you to know that Jesus is His Holiness. Without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. There is but one Spirit of eternal life, one Spirit of God, and that is the Spirit of holiness. That's why the Bible emphasizes the fact that we are to have our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof, everlasting life. If I have my fruits unto holiness, then I'm going to have eternal life at the end of the way. But don't be deceived, beloved friend. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible tells us that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things, and who can know it? Therefore, we must, of necessity, purify our hearts by faith, and we must, of necessity, find the Word of God, live in the Word of God, and understand the Word of God. Because we're told that the righteousness of God is revealed from the Word of God. From within here, Paul tells us, the Word of God comes forth. From within the Word of God comes the true Word of God. Or that is, from the printed page comes the spiritual words of life. From the Word of God comes the righteousness of God, the living life of Jesus Christ. From this Word comes light, and the Bible tells us that light is the life of mankind. Whereas the Bible tells us that this is the condemnation that's in the world today. Men love darkness rather than light. Light has come into the world, for Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than this light. They had rather have their own way of life. They'd rather make their own plans in life. They'd rather do their own thing in life. They'd rather try to make a religious thing in life that will work with their motives and their plans, that they may fulfill their ambitions in life, rather than shed all of those things off, laying aside the sin that does so easily beset them, and conform to the Word of God. They had rather do that than come to the light. The Bible said that that cometh to the light is made manifest. That which is made manifest is light. And there is nothing that is done in the dark but what it will come to the light. Everything will be judged in the day of the judgment. Every thought that you ever thought, everything that you ever said, everything that you ever done. One of these days, beloved friend, we're going to stand before God, and you and I and all the rest of the world is going to give an account for everything that ever passed through this mind. You know, we're like a computer. We have a memory bank up here, and we store up a lot of things, and then when this heart is in need of it here, our lives are filled with those things that we stored up in the memory bank. It would be good if we programmed this thing to where it would produce the right way of life. It would be good if we'd spend a little more time in prayer, a little more time in fasting, a little more time in living the right kind of life, doing the right kind of things, that God may give us a fuller, richer, more wholesome life. You know, a lot of people are dying with diseases today. Medical science just can't find an end to the thing. Though they're trying, yet the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines, all because of sin. You know, you can't sin and get by with it. I made the statement recently. That's like a fish trying to do without water. How could a fish live without water? How can man live without God? How can you be healthy? How can you be whole? How can you manage through life without God? In that God is our very breath. God is our very life. Therefore, we can never have health. We can never have healing. We can never have the abundance of blessings and joy that we need, beloved friend, unless we turn to God. Unless we incorporate God in our lives, and unless we take God in our lives, we're never going to have that health that God promised to us, or the health that medical science is searching for. You may spend millions of dollars, but you'll never find it. But I'll tell you what, if you follow Christ, if you do what God tells you to do, everything will be all right. If you'll obey the Word of God, if you'll honor the Word of God, you'll be all right. Jesus taught in His Word that He would feed us the fruits of our thoughts. Whatever our thoughts are, that's what we're going to feed on. God feeds us the fruits of our thoughts. That's why we can't be envious. That's why we can't have jealousy. That's why we can't have hatred. That's why we can't be gossipers and backbiters and all of these other things. Because God is looking at our hearts. God is looking at our thoughts. And we must feed upon that which we put in the memory bank. Therefore, whatever our thoughts is, that's what our food's going to be. And our lives are going to be a composition of whatever that is. Therefore, let us put in some good food, good fruits, good food. Let us have our fruits unto holiness, that the end thereof may be eternal life. All right, I'd love to pray for you. We're coming to the end of the program here, and I'd love to take time to pray for you. I pray for you because I find that this does a lot of good. It encourages people's faith, and we receive letters that tell us that people really receive healing and deliverance from our prayers. I believe that God heals. Because God heals me, therefore I believe that God will heal you. And we get such beautiful, beautiful testimonies of healing and deliverance. And though the world continues on in unbelief, and though people continue to mock the fleshly child of the bond's child, still mocks the free child because he is intellectual and he doesn't believe in the supernatural. But nevertheless, God still heals when those that can believe, believe. All men have not faith, but those that can believe, believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And the Bible said, when you pray, believe. I want you to believe with me while we pray, and I'm going to pray and ask God to heal you and God to do something for you. I want you to believe with me as we pray together. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask thee for the forgiveness of my sins and the sins of those that are listening, those that are looking. I ask you to forgive the sins of the world today through the blood of Jesus Christ. And oh, Heavenly Father, I ask in your magnificent name, oh God, to heal in Jesus' name. I feel you healing right now, God. Father, heal. God, visit that shut-in today. Oh God, visit that little cripple today. Father, visit those that are in need today. Inspire, oh God, cause faith to move. Move away the doubt. Move away the despondency. That one that's in financial difficulty. I pray that you would meet their needs, oh God. Do something special for them in this hour to heal, oh God, to supply the need. Father, to save lost souls, to be with them in the lovely name of Jesus. Hear me, oh Father, in Jesus Christ's name. We'll give thee the glory. Amen. May the Lord bless you. I know that God hears our prayer. Jesus said, I know that He heareth me always. I ask you to write me a letter. Let me hear from you because that's the only way that I know that you're looking and listening. If I get a letter from you, then I have a means of contact. You know, I've never been acquainted with some of you. And the only way that we can get acquainted is for you to write me a letter. Write me a letter and let me hear from you. If you got a need, tell me. We've got praying people here at Bethlehem. And if you'll let us know, we'll pray. And I promise you in Jesus' name that if you'll believe, God will do something for you. Until the next time that we meet with you by means of TV, may the Lord bless you.